Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Sometimes we do interviews on this show that are really topical, and they're driven by a topic. You know, we have something going on, we bring on a specific guest, and here's the right guest at the right time, that kind of interview. Other times, there's a game ahead. You know, Oregon's playing Michigan this week, for example, and we'll bring on a guest that's an expert on Michigan football or somebody who can talk about that game, or maybe the coach at Michigan or the coach at Oregon. This interview that you're about to hear with John Mateer, the Washington State quarterback, is kind of a get-to-know-you interview. We've watched him play. Dynamic player, guy that can, he's thrown 18 touchdown passes, has a chance. There's a 1,000-yard rushing season out there for him. He's a dual-threat quarterback. I hate to say that he's a gamer or a grinder because there's baggage that comes with that, but guy's a player. John Mateer from the state of Texas joining us now. He's in Pullman, Washington, quarterback Washington State. John Mateer, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you.
How are we doing?
Good, man. I was just reading a story about John Mateer, high school baseball player, shortstop, maybe a little right-handed pitcher as well. You miss baseball?
Oh, I miss it a lot. I miss it every day.
Where do you get your baseball fix? Are you watching the World Series at all, or you get a chance to even get in a cage somewhere in Pullman?
Every time I go home, one of my best friends still plays baseball, so we go hit together. We'll go throw or something. And then I actually play in intramural softball leagues here and there. So
yeah, I like that.
Those are so fun.
Do you have a dog in the fight in this Dodgers Yankees World Series?
So there's a lot of people on this team that like the Dodgers and are annoying about the Dodgers.
Right?
So I didn't want them to cheer. It's kind of like the 49ers.
Yes.
Like, it's so annoying when they win because everybody goes crazy. So I wanted the Yankees to win, but I don't think they're going to.
I don't think so either. They're in a hole. They're in a terrible hole. And as a Giants fan, so I grew up in California in the Bay Area, so I'm a Niner fan. But as a Giants fan, I can't bring myself to root for the Dodgers. Come on.
No way. Sacrilegious. I mean, they're fun to watch. Shohei is incredible, but I just can't.
Do you, Little Elm High School in Little Elm, Texas. Give us an idea of what, like, the town you grew up in is like.
Okay, it's booming, I'll say. When my parents moved there in 2001, they would always say, "Oh, this road was never here when we when we moved here. Or this street was like it was a true farmland, like when they moved there in early 2000s, and now it's 50,000 people right next to Frisco, and it's a huge city on the lake is what we like, you know, so we name ourselves. So it's a tourist attraction. I don't know. There's a bunch of, like, there's a wakeboarding spot. To me, it's just, you know, a city, but there's people that actually come from other places to hang out in Little Elm for the beach and for the couple of attractions we have, which is wild to me. But
what do you know? Do you know the story of why your parents chose that or moved there? Or has that ever come up?
I don't want to be wrong because it's just disrespectful to my parents, but I'm pretty sure my dad got a job as a swim coach in Plano.
Yeah. Okay.
And they just moved out there because it was like cheaper and it was a good little neighborhood.
Yeah. And your dad, for people who don't know, your dad swam in college, I think. Was he at Missouri? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So growing up, you had to have had swim lessons or been around a pool with dad as a swimmer and a swim coach.
So we have a community pool right next to us in my house I grew up. But he would, of course, teach me how to swim, and I'd go to his practices, but he never made me. Like, he never pushed me to swim. He let me do what I wanted, and obviously I like the land more. I just feel more comfortable on the land, right? But he never pushed me to it, but I would go. I was young, and I'd swim through the lanes while his swimmers were swimming, and it was fun. It was a good time.
John Mateer is with us, Washington State quarterback. You're fun on the field, man. You are You are a dynamic player. Obviously, you know nothing different because you're you. But let's go back to those high school years. I mean, you brought up Plano. Frisco's got like a 20,000 seat stadium. For people who don't know high school football in Texas, how do you explain it to people out here?
It's very different from out here. I went to a Pullman game a couple weeks ago on our bye week. It's very different. It's everything. It's what everybody goes after. It's the hot topic on Thursday and Friday night. The playoffs, everybody's going to games and traveling in buses and going across the state. It's the big thing, and to be a quarterback in a high level district like that was always a dream, and it came true. But like, we played in Snapdragon Stadium this past weekend, and I'm not exactly sure. I think it held 25,000.
Yeah.
Allen High School Stadium held 18,000. Prosper, I think, was 16,000. Like, these, my first ever starter was 14 years old in Texas. I was a freshman. It was at FC Dallas Stadium.
Yeah.
Which holds, I'm not exactly sure, but it was a professional stadium. First ever start on varsity, professional stadium. So, it prepares us. I say us as in, college football players that played in Texas in a big area like Dallas to, the big stages and the lights.
How do you think, and maybe keep in mind, youth sports, big deal, of course, but parents listening, what advice do you give to parents that are getting pressure for their kids to specialize, or they're in a club sport, they're 8 years old, 9 years old? What did you benefit from when you were a kid?
I think the biggest thing, and I'll thank my parents for this, is they made me play the big three sports. The big three for me is football, basketball, and baseball. At first, I played football first, and I remember I cried because they were making me play baseball or t-ball, and then I cried because they put me into basketball, but I loved it so fast. And I'm just an athlete at heart. So I love competing, and I love, trying to get better at things. But playing all three of them have all taught me so much. And I played basketball up until eighth grade until I couldn't, because football and baseball, the seasons just overlapped. And then I played baseball until I couldn't because Coach Dickard told me I couldn't hear. I always wanted to do both. And I always, I loved it. I loved the grind. And this is what my high school baseball coach told me when I was really young. He said, if you want to play both, you can't go half and half on your work ethic. You have to do double. You have to go full time in both. And I bought into that, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Just the grind and trying to be good at both is so fun.
You mentioned Snapdragon Stadium. The turf there has been talked about. You were on it. Like, it looked sandy on television, but what was it like to play on that turf?
Well, my top miles per hour that I hit was 17, which is not fast. No disrespect to anybody that their top miles per hour is 17, but that's just because I was running and I was slipping. And to me, during the game, I was getting frustrated because these are people I'd normally make miss, and I couldn't because I had to take a double stick. Or I had to on that long run on second and 12. I've told a couple people this. If you really watch my head closely on the long run, right when I catch the ball, I twitch my head because sand was on top of the ball, and it landed on my face.
No.
yeah, crazy. It was wild. I was like, what is going on? Yeah, it was bad.
And I guess it's just that there's sand underneath the grass, and they're playing so many sports on there. They're playing soccer on there and football and other things. We're at the point of the year where it's just kind of coming up. Like, I don't think they did it on purpose. But they got to do something about it, don't they? I mean, that's not ideal for the home team, not ideal for the visiting team, not ideal for soccer. That can't work.
Right, and that's, it's not for me to say, oh, you need to do this and that, but ideally for peak performance of all the athletes, you ideally get that fixed.
John Mateer is with us, Washington State quarterback. Look, it's been fun to watch you play. You've had some really exhilarating moments. You guys are in the thick of it now. There's an 11-1 season out there if you want it. Like, how are you feeling about where you guys are right now and the energy in the locker room maybe coming out of that San Diego State game? Where are you guys kind of psychologically in this month of November's here?
Right. I think we're in a good spot. Obviously, winning games is a good feeling. It's an exciting feeling. We had a good a lengthy team meeting this morning, and Coach Dickard's making sure all our heads were in the right spots. And his main message was to just keep doing the things we've been doing. we're here because of the things we've been doing and the process that we've been taking, not be, so we don't have to do anything different now because, oh, it's November, you know, we could have this and that coming to us. Like, no, it's the same thing, same process. As long as we attack that every day and everybody's trying to get better every day, we should be set up well.
The way that this season has unfolded is, you know, there's attention on you, sure, but it's interesting to me to kind of think about what makes a great season and how weird it is with, you know, the two-team conference right now and then other teams coming in. We talk about it a lot on the outside. Do you guys on the inside talk about, you know, Boise State coming in 2 years, or does 2 years feel like an eternity for you guys?
We don't talk about it, but I don't think it's because it feels so, like an eternity. I think we're just not worried about it. That's something that us players can't control. And so it would just cause a lot of emotions and thoughts that we have no, like, we have nothing. We can't control it, like I said. So we're just focusing on playing ball, and Dickerson's done a great job with that and keeping our heads in the right space. And not, I don't want to say not letting us start thinking about that, but leading us to a headspace that we're not worried about that.
I've been thinking a lot about the redshirt rule, and you're seeing some guys that when they redshirt, they'll get to 3 games, and all of a sudden they'll say, well, I can't play another one. I'm going to burn a year. And, you know, that's a rule that maybe the NCAA should look at, right? Like, maybe we should just say, hey, everybody gets 5 years and 5 years of eligibility, and let's not have kids have to decide after 4 games or whatever what they're going to do. Do you have a rule that you would change, or you think the NCAA should look at, or people should be talking about?
I don't know. There's nothing really that bothers me about college football a whole lot, you know. I think, you know, everybody has an opinion, right? And I think they have the right to an opinion of, oh, everybody should do this or that or this. But there's always different situations that things will come up in, and so you'd have to, you know, I'm in business law right now, so you have to have an exception to every exception, right?
Right.
All these things, rules and things, so. Nothing I'll stand for, nothing I'll, you know, like the way it's run.
I love the business law thing. All right, tell me what about that. What about that appeals to you?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I'm just in the class. I'm studying finance right now, and you kind of have to take it. But I do have a pretty cool professor. He keeps it really interesting, and I'm learning a lot in that class. But that's not what I'm studying, no.
All right, so why did you pick the major you picked? What draws you to finance?
Honestly, it's because I've always struggled knowing what I'm going to do, you know, after football, after an athletic career. And so I figured finance is appealing because I want to know how to handle money, and money just appealed to me. Not in any ill regard, but I think money is important, and taking care of your own money is important. And so that's why I drew to it.
The John Mateer away from football, what are you binge watching? Are you a video game guy? Are you a music guy? What do you like?
You know, there's not a huge compartment of John Mateer away from football. I really do football all the time. Big music guy. I listen to music often, country, rap, anything. And when I'm watching shows, I just got done with Outer Banks.
Yeah.
I'm about to watch the next season. I don't really binge watch a whole lot. Especially right now, I don't have time for it, but I fit that in there on the plane rides and stuff. And then in the summers, I golf a little bit. You know, I dropped 10 strokes this past summer. It was awesome. Bought some new clubs, you know.
That's nice. Good. I mean, look, do you ever golf with – who else on the team golfs with you?
Oh, there's a lot. Kyle Martin, my roommates, the Roten Twins, Zach Miller, Keith Brown, Kyle Thornton. I could keep going. There's a lot.
As I look at your schedule, obviously there's going to be talk about, you know, a lot of people talking about can they get to 11-1, all that stuff. But, you know, you've got an opportunity here to look, you know, ahead to Utah State. And have you started film, or what's the process for you when you've got an opponent that, you know, in a normal week, how early are you getting to like a film session?
Oh, I normally go into treatment Sundays, normally 11-1. And then I'll meet with my quarterback coach about the last game, and then straight on to the next game. I'll normally watch 2 games on Sunday. And then I got a busy class schedule Monday, so Monday night I'm sitting there watching film for about 2 hours. And then Tuesday during the day, it's about an hour. And then at night again, another hour and a half, 2 hours. Same thing on Wednesday as Monday, so do it a lot at night. And then Thursday is really finishing up. a lot of third downs. You know, that's when all the DCs decide to do some crazy stuff. Every team is different, and that's why it's fun.
Let me ask you a second, John, because, you know, you have this class schedule. Like, I do, I talk to a lot of QBs, and some guys are taking, like, yoga and sign language and an online class, and, you know.
Right.
Like, you're like a real student.
I guess so. I mean, I'm still only a junior, so, and my parents were always like, oh, your degree is important. You have to get your degree, which I appreciate. Yeah, it makes it a little tough, you know, sometimes having to go to class. We got four classes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, which on Fridays I don't get to go to them because we're traveling or we have a game schedule or whatever. But it's fine. I don't mind it. I think it's better that way because when I go to class, I get to interact with people and give my mind off of football so that whenever I come back in the facility, it can really be on football and I can go 100% like I need to.
You know, look, I'll just tell you again, like, it's a lot of fun to watch you play. I can tell that you have joy on the field. Keep doing what you're doing. Love having you on the show. A lot of Cougars fans listening, of course, across the state of Oregon and southern Washington. So appreciate you, John, for giving us some of your time.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. Thank you.
You too. Yep.
John Mateer, Washington State quarterback. As I said off the top, sometimes there's an interview where we're really drilling down on an opponent. And other times there's an interview where, you know, there's a subject that's come up and there's a specific reason why a guest is on the show. I wanted to bring John Mateer on the show because he's a dynamic player for a program that is chasing an 11-win season. Washington State has a puncher's chance to get into the playoff as an at-large team. I'd put it at about 15%, 10 to 15% that Washington State at 11-1 could get into the playoff. They're going to need help. They're going to need the teams they beat, teams like Texas Tech and Fresno State and Washington, to get above 500 or maybe have Texas Tech sneak into the top 25, make that a quality win, and they're going to need some chaos in front of them. They're going to need the SEC and the Big Ten teams to not look as appealing. These three lost teams from those conferences are going to be tough to climb over. But Washington State, staring down an 11-win season, they got a quarterback who's capable of getting them to that kind of place. A lot of fun to get to know John Mateer just a little bit. I want you to leave it here. Much more ahead on the Bald-Faced Truth. You're listening statewide on the BFT Radio Network.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.